Well, well, well. It seems the NFL is serving up a three-ring circus of controversy with a side of facepalm. Let's dive into this gridiron goulash of gaffes, shall we? First up, we have Tyreek Hill, the speedster who apparently thought he could outrun the long arm of the law. After a traffic stop turned into a takedown, Hill's now crying foul and demanding pink slips fly. Because nothing says I'm innocent like trying to get someone fired for doing their job, right? And finally, we have the gift that keeps on giving. Deshaun Watson, just when you thought 26 accusations were enough, number 27 decides to join the party. Or is it the masseuse table? At this rate, Watson might want to consider a career change to professional apologist, except he can't repay out a lot more money. It's just another day in the NFL, folks, where the drama off the field is giving the action on the field a run for its money. Everybody, this is William Del Pilar, and this is Points on the Board, episode 89. We're trudging our way to episode 100. First of all, apologies to my two co-hosts, Jimmy McPhee and Joe DeCapita. Joe, people got to know who you are there, buddy. What's up with that? The strong silent type there. No name under you there. Anyway, I apologize to you guys. Me and my previous host, Eddie, you know, we're both Latinos, so we had a little Latino swag going there. And then as it's going, I'm looking at, oh, I got two white guys here.
Yeah, right. Not really fitting that Latino thing, you know. So.
Hey, there's no reason to feel bad. In exactly. High school, my buddies just always tell me, dude, you're the only Puerto Rican we know with two left feet.
You'll have to be a resident Latino for the show.
There you go. I come from the era where there was no shame and culture was always a topic of jokes growing up because my group of people who I grew up with, just ironically, one was black, two were Lumbee Indian. A couple of Asians, I was a Latino, and we had a white guy too, you know, but that's what happens when you grow up in a very diverse neighborhood, military town. I always tell people the most diverse cities in the country, period, it's not even a discussion point, is the military, because you don't live in neighborhoods because of class or status. Well, in a way you do. But it's called the working class. So when you have like an E6, they find a new suburb and the homes are all affordable. Every E6 is headed there with their families. And the military doesn't discriminate. That's why when all this Obama, all this race stuff hit the military, everybody was scratching their heads in the military. It was like, man, most of my bosses are of some kind of color or something like that. And why do I bring this up? Because we're going to get right into our topics today. We're going to talk about Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. And have you guys seen the video of this yet?
Yeah.
I haven't. I know Joe has.
Yeah.
Oh, to me, it's hilarious. Call Drew.
You sound just like Tyreek right there. Great impersonation.
I just had surgery. My knee. Yeah. it's one wine fest. And then he's on the podium. He's, yeah, Tyreek Hill, I'm such a tough guy. You know? Yeah. But, you know, and you know, he played the race card today or a couple of days ago. And I expected that. Then we're going to go to Matt Araiza. And not many people know about him. But the story should be bigger than it is, and it will never be, because this was a case of Me Too going all south and losing at the end. And then we're going to end it with our favorite quarterback, who we're still waiting to actually have a great run of games. I'll give him some credit. He's looked good. You see the flashes of old Deshaun Watson there at times, but for the most part, we're still waiting for him to put together a complete game. You know, the 260 – I mean, Steve Austin's jealous. Yeah, do y'all even remember who Steve Austin is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
The $6 million man. I used to brag as a kid I could catch him. And they're like, you know, as a kid, you think everything's funny. Like, why? Because he runs in slow motion, man. Anyway, so let's get into this first. First of all, I want to give an overview of who Tyreek Hill is, but you know, cops aren't all good. But it's not always the cops' fault, neither. I knew somebody got stopped. You know, what's up, officer? You know your taillight's out. And then, you know, the cop comes up. It's 9 o'clock at night. He actually has sunglasses on, has a big beer gut. So things did not go off just well, with the individual snapping at the cop and referencing Smokey and the Bandit and Jackie Gleason. And the kid couldn't understand why he got jacked up. And then the kid wouldn't stop talking. They got jacked up even more, handcuffed, you know, and the cop wasn't kind. It threw him in the back. And even at the station, the guy's going, the other cop's going, well, what'd he do? And the cop starts hurt, dude, he didn't do anything. He just, what? It was the kid's attitude. That kid was me. That kid was me, you know. I spent the night in the orange jumpsuit, you know, and doing the shame walk, you know. So, yeah, you know, you let your mouth get you in trouble, bad things can happen. Mm-hmm. But anyway, in a nutshell, that's kind of what happened with Tyreek Williams. Completely different, but that's kind of what happened. So on September 9th, 2024. And obviously that was Sunday. Tyreek Hill was involved in a traffic stop and it escalated into a physical encounter with the police. And what made this worse, it started right before the game was getting ready to go on. And the body camera footage was released by the Miami-Dade Police Department and it showed the encounter. So before we get into who Tyreek Hill is and specifics here, and I apologize, Jimmy, but I'm going to go to Joe here because he said
that's okay.
Video, and we're going to talk about the video. We're going to show you the video. But Joe, what are your initial thoughts after one overall and two after you saw the video?
So initially, you know, what I thought is like, oh, it's one of these, you know, players get pulled over, probably driving really fast. And usually that's how these guys get pulled over because they think they are above the law, so to speak. That was my initial reaction is I was like, all right, it should be a routine stop and he should get his ticket and move on. But then after I saw the video, it wasn't anything but that. Like it was one of those things where could Tyreek have handled it better? Of course. He could have handled it better and he could have been on his way after that and just got his couple of tickets. But instead, he showed a little bit of resistance. He wasn't really fully complying with the officer's requests, and then it led to what it led to.
So it sounds like you're saying you wanted to understand the situation from his perspective, but once you saw that cam, you saw that he was the problem?
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jimmy, you haven't seen the video, but, no. You know, based on what you've seen, read, heard, talked about, I'm sure, at the water cooler, at the construction site there, what are your thoughts?
I guess the same thing. I want to be understanding. I want to, you know, kind of look at it from his point of view, but then I also am not surprised. We've seen this guy have issues in the past, even with violence towards women, children, things like that. So the fact that he maybe wouldn't comply just that little bit, I found interesting. And the fact that when he came out on the press conference and tried to jump ahead of the situation and said that I was raised by my grandmother to never swear and all this other junk and all this stuff. And I'm kind of like, but you were raised to hit women and children though. I mean, exactly. You are a very upstanding citizen. You're right. I understand it. I totally believe you. And so, that's sarcasm. And, so that's why when I was waiting for the body cam footage to see what this was going to be, I was looking for those little things, what he had done. Cause I know police officers as well. Like William, I have not been in that situation that you were in, but something similar again, a few different times. I wasn't the person involved, but I was there. And again, I know just keep your mouth shut. Do what they say. I mean, they're pulling you over because you obviously committed, most likely they think that you committed a crime or whatever at one point. You know, speeding is a crime. You know, riding without your seatbelt is a crime, things like that. They look for that things. And if you give them any kind of talk back or any kind of something to see them that they feel that you're suspicious or the fact that you might get aggressive, they jump on the upper hand of it to control the situation because their life is that line too on the line as well. And when I saw the video, the fact that he was actually pinned down at one point though, I thought that was a bit overboard though, because I understand and I've seen people again, hey, put them in handcuffs. At least they're not going to get crazy. Sit over there on the curb. We'll get to you in a second or whatever. But you know, so I see it from both points of view. But I'm not surprised right, that there's right. something that kind of led to it.
Right. My take is completely different. I'm like, I will always look towards siding with the cops first, only because of not only my experiences, my friends' experiences, my other friends, and it's always been one-sided, us being the a-holes towards the cop. And so I do come from a jaded side from it, but it's the opposite side, not the victim side, meaning, yeah, we're usually running our mouth. Ironically, I was involved in a DUI once, not me, my friend, and neither one of us should have been in that car. That's how hammered we were. Turns out I didn't know my friend's dad was a judge. So I'm in shock, like, what the hell just happened here as we're zigzagging away, you know? You're right though. Police officers are in a position of power, of authority. And I'm not defending them, because they have the responsibility of being above it. You know, that's part of their training. And as much as it loathes them, and as much as at times it shouldn't matter, because of how the position is seen, they have to be like that. But before we get into the actual intricacies of what happened, I want the audience to know a little bit about Tyreek Hill. I've never cared about Tyreek Hill enough. When Tyreek Hill came out, I had already sold my company. I had stopped playing fantasy football. I stopped watching football for a while, except cursory, you know, here or there. So everybody knew who the cheetah was, the fastest guy in the NFL. That was about it. I didn't really get into his details until today. And I'm like, man, call him Super Sperm.
Yeah.
It's a bird, it's a plane, though. It's Mr. Spermazoid. Mm-hmm. You know, he's obviously known for his exceptional speed. The man can fly. He's got great playmaking ability, multiple Pro Bowl selections. I don't know how many times, but all pro as well. He's the confirmed. This is what cracked me up. When I researched it, I found it. The confirmed father of 7 children as of July 2024. Rumored to have 10 children. You know, DraftKings, you got odds on that. You know, he's got children with at least four different women. Now, I will defend him from this perspective. He can afford to take care of all those kids. Most people, it's like, dude, what the hell are you doing, man? You can't afford to take care of 2, much less 10. Mm-hmm. But he's expecting his 8th child with his current wife. Mm-hmm. You know, now, the reason I sound like I'm mocking him a bit and kind of sarcastic, 1 child confirmed by court order. You know, it's like you got to go to court. Because I can picture the mama going to court. He's a daddy. No, I'm not. He's a daddy. No, I'm not. DNA says he's a daddy. Oh, I am. Okay. You know, Drew, I got to cut another check every month. That's what he's screaming. So am I mocking him? Yes, because he's made some dumb ass decision. As the great legendary Red Foreman from That 70s Show would say, dumbass, you know. So as he may be polite, he may politely call his woman next to him and bam, knock her out, you know. He has pleaded guilty to domestic assault and battery charges. Again, I'm jokingly saying that, and I probably shouldn't, because assault and battery against a woman should not happen to anybody. You know, in my defense, I grew up with 3 sisters in the house, and as a small child pre-puberty, they gang up and beat me up. Yeah, true story. Yeah. That was in 2014. In 2019, investigated for alleged child abuse. I'm not even going to joke there, but no charges filed. 2023, faced assault allegations at a marina. No charges filed. On the 2019-2023, I had no clue about what happened, but I can tell you from experience working in the sports industry. And I worked in minor league baseball, too, for a little in the weeds note there. But once a player makes it, has money, they get out of this by cutting the check. So I'm not saying this happened, but I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. And obviously 2024 involved in the controversial traffic stop. Jimmy, let's start with you. NFL achievements, his personal life, his family breakdown, his legal issues. hearing all this, what kind of man would you assume him to be? What kind of man do you think he is? And the reason I'm asking is, obviously, we're going to the point of, is it this person that we saw at that traffic stop, or is this all blown out and it's a one-sided, the media and the world is against him and all this write-up? What are your thoughts?
Kind of what I said before. I mean, you see the rap sheet, I guess, if you want to say it, or even his history. It doesn't look good because, again, when you look back at when they're talking about the alleged child abuse, there's audio recordings where he is threatening, you know, his wife or whatever, you know, basically say, I'm gonna kill you and this and this and both of you. They turned the whole thing around the fact that the child was young and it didn't understand, you know, what he was even talking about now. So then, you know, and kind of turned the whole thing down. And that's why there's no charges filed. They tried to turn it around on him, like, yo, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, he's just a kid, you know, and this and that. So to do that and kind of, you know, not stick up for children, and women. And then the fact that, you know, he's speeding, doesn't take accountability for that. It's like, hey, yes, I was speeding. I'm guilty of that. And then just, you know, it got out of hand or something like that. He didn't. Yeah. He immediately, it automatically was like, yeah, after I'm done, you know, I'm going to the podium. Listen, I'm going to use this as my, you know, soapbox right now. Use this to talk to you guys about something that's really near and dear to me. You know, that's, you know, police violence towards Black people. And I'm like, are you serious right now? Especially after you mock them in the game too, with a touchdown celebration, put your hands behind your back, assuming the cuffing position. You mocked the whole thing. So how am I to believe that you actually care about this whole situation?
No, that's a good point. Joe, you're a big guy. You know, Tyreek Hill's a receiver, so by NFL standards, he's not a huge guy, but he's 5'10", bigger than the average person, 191 pounds. He's pure muscle. Mm-hmm. He's you hear him, he's not a nice, gentle speaking person, you know, so he comes off as quite the gruff type man. And, I see the size. I hear what Jimmy said about the threatening phone calls. He can be a scary guy to women, you know, to his kids.
Absolutely,
and all that.
Yeah.
So based off this intro on who he is as a person, and I will say this in his defense, there's a lot of things I did in my 20s that I'm not proud of that don't measure up to what Tyreek did, but you look back and it's a hall of shame. You never mentioned some of those things to other people because they were bad, they were stupid, they were embarrassing, and they would have, for the grace of God, we didn't get caught by the law, whereas he has. So I'm not defending them. I'm saying we forget these are really man child. Because they're still in their 20s. They've never been told no in their life. Once their special talent was discovered, they've never been told no. They've been given everything. Everybody has looked the other way. So when you hear this thing, when you hear what we just said about him, are you looking at him like, this guy's a bad dude, or, dude, he needs to grow? I mean, what's your take on him as a person based not that he cares what we think, but what's your but what we think is what most of America thinks, you know?
Right.
What's your take?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, this is one of those things where there's not all bad apples in the NFL, but Tyreek Hill happens to be one of those bad apples as a person. And time again throughout his career, whether it be in college, because this stems back in college too. Like, people think, oh, he made it to the NFL, made a lot of money, and now he's acting out. No, this was happening in college. The girl that he's with now, his wife, he was dating in college. He threatened her in college. There was domestic abuse calls to their apartment. Wow. So this stems way back when. So now that he's in the NFL and has gotten the big payday and makes a ton of money, it's like he has – now he feels as if – what I'm assuming he feels is that he has this celebrity power and money now to where he feels like he's above everything because he's constantly – gotten away with one thing after another. Jim was right. Jim alluded to it about how there was audio evidence in one of his cases, domestic abuse cases. There was evidence. It got thrown out. I mean, how do you throw out evidence and just kind of let it go because he paid someone, because he told his wife, hey, we don't know this for sure, but I could assume that he threatened his wife yet again off camera, off, you know, at home, and said, hey, you better drop these charges.
Well, for you. A lot of times, that's not an NFL or sport athlete. That's just a spouse thing. You know, my friend is a cop, and he said on repeat offender calls, when they got the call, they just wait. Go get a cup of coffee. They'd wait for the fighting to die down. He goes, because 99% of the time, that woman who was getting beat on is going to turn on the cop.
Yep.
You know, for her husband. So I don't even think he had a threat in anything. It's just they come to the realization, well, that is my husband. He may beat me, but I still love him. You know?
Yeah. They're sick in love, and that's what happens.
But that also comes with the money. Like, you know what I mean? Because she's financially stable with him. What am I going to do? Leave him? He makes all the money. Exactly. He takes care of me. You know what I mean? That type of thing, too. But, like, that all being said, like, he's not a good guy. He might portray one when he's at the podium. You know, he might portray one when he's in the public's eye. But behind closed doors, even with teammates, and who knows? Maybe in the locker room he talks crazy. But it doesn't get reported because his teammates are his boys. So, I don't think that he's a good guy. I wanted to believe he was a good guy early into his career when these things started to pop up. But there's too much history to say otherwise.
No, I agree. He's a prima donna, and that's what I meant. I've had agents and retired players tell me this before, back in my heyday, especially agents. They used to tell me it's a full-time job just managing these kids. He goes, that's where I first heard. I mean, I'd heard the term man-child before, but I'd never heard it said so much from agents, because a good agent doesn't just manage the player's contract. A good agent helps manage their lives because these are man kids, you know?
Yeah. And I can relate to that too. Like, I run a flag football team, and it's adult men, but for some reason they act like children. When it's like, all I need is a yes or a no from you, and there's no answer, or all I need is you to do this, and they can't be found. So I get it.
All right, so let's watch the video. It's about 3 minutes long. I'm going to pause it, break it down, asking you guys for your comments. I want to do that because, in essence, if we go through my notes here, we're going through the video. I guess this will be like it's a repeat episode for Joe and I, and it's a brand new.
It's fresh for me. Here we go. Exactly. Fresh take. All right. I'm ready.
Okay, obviously he's been stopped here. Okay, first off, don't be tapping on my window like that. Don't be tapping on my window like that. Don't be tapping. I mean, it's like, if I'm a cop, I'm getting pissed. I'm like, bro, you're the one who made me stop you. And now you're having an attitude. So from the get-go, he has that. See, when I say prima donna, that's what I call a prima donna attitude. Right or wrong, Jimmy?
Yeah, I agree. Again, automatically, he said, you don't have your seatbelt on, right? He was already pulled over for speeding, so there's two tickets right there automatically. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, he tapped on the window, which that's happened a lot of times with officers. They tap on the window. If you don't already have your window down, because you know the rule. You know how he goes.
Window should have been down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You see enough movies, whatever. You know, license and registration, please. You know what I mean? Come on. Give me a break. Right. And the fact that he's being aggressive about it and saying, hey, you know, don't be tapping on my window. Are you serious?
Exactly. So Joe, you would agree Tyreek did not get off to the best of situations here?
Yeah, he definitely could have handled it a lot better because it's routine. When you get pulled over, you always lower your window down. You know, and you just wait for the officer to arrive and get direction. And he just didn't want to hear direction from the start. In fact, he wanted to jump the cop from saying anything. But like, hey, no, you do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who I am? But you don't tap my window. Well, I'm sorry. I can't see you through the window for one. It's blacked out. So what is the cop supposed to think when they're coming up to a blacked out vehicle? They can't see anything. They don't know what you're doing behind that window. So,
I'll tell you what they think. They think safety, Joe. Yes. They think
yeah,
safety.
No, danger.
Yeah, could have a gun there. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. You know? All right. It's dangerous for them.
Let's keep going here.
How do you hold up? Hey, keep the window down.
What? Manny.
Hey, keep your window down. Keep your window down. I'm gonna get you out of the car. As a matter of fact, get out of the car.
Right there, two things I noticed. First of all, they're not going to win the race game here. That's a town of Latinos. I mean, the guy, I'm waiting for him to go, oh, yes, sir. Put that window down, yes, sir. You know, I'll pull my knife out. You know, I always mock my fellow Latinos, you know. And it was there. There were all Latinos there. You know, so the race card is not going to fly in that town. Two, he's coming across belligerent. I mean, your window should stay down. Look, there's a guy called King Randall or something. And he helps young black kids. And he was showing the video he had done. This is how you act. I've talked to other black men who have kids. Yeah, he goes, yeah, William, we really do give the talk of how to act towards cops. Don't say a damn word. You know, keep your mouth shut. You know, and that's what my dad told me. You know, you just listen to what they do. It seems like Tyree thought that cop was one of his little baby mamas. That's pretty much what it boiled down to, you know. So let's keep going here. Or any comments, Joe? Any comments here on what we've seen so far? Anything to go? Tyreek is in the right, man. They just roughed him up.
No, like he's not listening to direction. We talked about that from the jump. Everybody knows that routine stop. You lower your window, you wait for the cop, and then you get directions, license and registration, hand them over. It should have been as simple as that.
That's right.
Even the cop identifying, like, why aren't you wearing your seatbelt? Like Jimmy said, that's another ticket. Okay, but if he still complied, he would have got his, he would have got his tickets. He would have been off on his way 10 minutes later, and none of this would have been a bigger thing than what it should have never got this big.
I don't think you heard it, or maybe he hasn't said it, but he did say, I thought, just give me my ticket so I can move on. But he said it so arrogantly, like, hey, you piece of trash, just give me my ticket to move on. Disrespectful. Yep. And I don't care who you are, and I said cops should be above that, but we're all human.
Right.
You want respect, treat somebody with respect. You want to be disrespected, do what Tyreek did here.
Give me that. Get out of the car.
Give me that. We'll break that freaking window.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car right now. We're not playing this game. Get out. 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 What part of brother do you understand?
Hey, Drew, I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting.
So, this is very important that people don't pick up on. Drew Rosenhaus, that's his agent. That's who he was on the phone with. It's nothing about, okay, I screwed up. Let me be polite. Let me get my ticket. Yes, sir, no, sir, and I'm on my way. Instead, Drew! Yeah, I mean, to me, and the reason I mock him is that's something with a little 190-pound JJ. Right there, he's showing who and what he really is. As much trash-talking, what's he doing? Mama, they're arresting me. I ain't done nothing. That's what I'm watching, you know? And then he's wondering why he's getting jacked down. You piss the cop off. He's dragging you. Did the cop go too far? I'm going to say, okay, he did. So what? The guy did not comply. You know, I'm not saying the cop's right, but as a citizen watching a prima donna act like a prima donna, I have no, what's the word I'm looking for, guys? I have no pity for him. I'm like, bro, you brought it on yourself. When I got jacked up, I deserved it. And I did the same things you did. Disrespected the cop. And, I mean, at the time, I would have told you the cop was all in the wrong for that. But, you know, you calm down like, yeah, I bleeped up. Yeah. So I guess from you guys, I will start with you, Joe, real quick here. The cop's too much force in getting him out of the vehicle?
I don't think so, because when you look at the video and everything and you look at what they've asked him to do, very simple tasks leading up to that. And the fact that, like you mentioned, like you pissed the cop off, like just like anybody else would get pissed off at a certain point. Like, I'm trying to be patient with you. You're not listening to me. I'm the authority in this whole situation. If you just comply, this will all go smoother. And the fact that you're still negligent to be like, I'm going to do whatever I want. Well, okay, now this is happening. Now we're going to drag you out of the car. We're going to pin you down. We're going to handcuff you and do what we have to do.
Right. And Jimmy, let's take race completely out of it. Let's say it was a rich fraternity kid. Yeah. I'd be saying the same thing about the cops taking him out, because I'd go, that's a silver spoon little punk ass bitch.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? So to me, it's this isn't a color or culture thing. This is a class issue. He right. views himself above the peon cops. Your right. thoughts? Mm-hmm.
I agree. Like I said, I wanted to take this, you know, as balanced as I could. Now that I'm actually seeing the footage, because like I said, when you are asked then to step out of the car, we'll put you in cuffs or whatever, go sit on the curb, you know, whatever, and then we'll figure things out, and then you know what, you know, we can keep an eye on you because maybe we feel threatened. He constantly was talking over them about and saying, "No, I'm not moving. I'm not moving." I've seen this plenty of different times. Joe and I worked at the nightclubs together. Joe knows.
Oh, yeah.
He was a bouncer. So many drunk people. No, I'm not getting out. All right, buddy, please. I'm trying to exit you out of the building. It's time to go. And no, you know, and they sit and pout like a little baby, and you physically have to move these people and pick mm-hmm. them up and drag them out.
Yeah.
And this is the same situation. I have no problems with what they did because, again, they're like, open the door, like, get out. Get out now. Yep. Yep. Get out now. And then they start to have to yank him out. So that's what I mean. He's like, no, I'm not budging. We told you to get out, and you're yep. resisting that. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. And that's the thing. It's like, because again, when you do that, they, in their minds, even too, like, why are you not getting out? Are you holding something on the other side of you? Are you going to pull out a mm-hmm. gun? And that's just because of a color. We're taking color out of this. They have to always look for safety of themselves on top of things. So yeah, that's why yeah, they do yeah. a lot of this stuff. People think it's to yeah. kind of restrict people's rights. It's their lives are on the line every single day as well. So they have to always be you know, above that and ahead of that situation. Because right, we've seen right. many other times after even the riots and all the other business that was going on, cops, you know, pulled, you know, a lot of people over afraid to do some things, and then they were beaten. And yep. things and injured. So yeah. this yeah. is where yeah, cops, we are.
Yeah. yeah, cops are getting no respect now, so they're even more leery and they have less patience because of mm-hmm. the fear right. and the system right now protecting the criminal more than the cop. All right.
Yeah.
I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting out, bro. God damn.
When we tell you to do something, you do it.
I'm getting
you understand?
Up. I'm getting out.
You understand? Not what you want, but what we tell you.
I'm getting
you're
out.
A little fucking confused.
I'm getting out, bro.
Too late. Too late.
Too late, I said. Too late.
Hell, bro. Do what you gotta do, bro.
We are. We will.
Good, bro.
It
hey,
is good.
Hey, Drew. Hey.
Don't worry about it. I hung up the phone. Stop crying.
Bro. Good. Bro, you beat on my window like you crazy.
See, he just can't let it go. Why are you yeah. beating on my window like you're crazy? Well, he's you should have had the Chris damn
Rock
window roll down.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
You're crazy.
Yeah. I thought it was funny when the cop goes, stop crying.
Yeah.
I was whining there, you know. At the end of the day, I always tell people, you know, you can see the true measure of a man when they're in those tough situations. Does a little whiny boy come out, or do they take it like a man? I messed up. Give it, you know, do what you need to do. Or you just sit there and be quiet. I just sit there and I'm quiet, you know. But especially if I brought, actually, I was an asshole when, I got jacked up because I just couldn't shut up, and he kept jacking me up. You know, I mean, so I guess when I and I'm 5'7", so when I look at him, 5'10", 191 pounds, crying like a little girl, I'm like, dude. I'm like, you're never. I'm your friend. We're not going to be friends because you're not. I won't let you live this one down.
Bro, dude, beating on my window like he crazy. I ain't do nothing, twin.
Hey, don't park there. Don't park there.
Okay. These are his teammates stopping in.
Hold on, bro. I just had surgery on my knee.
Okay, they were telling him to sit down, and he wouldn't. You know? And the cops have had it. You know, they've had it. He's at, so the, and I don't have it in my notes, but I did read that it's not like the cops knew who they were. He was somebody said to say, "Do you know who that is?" And the cop was like, "No, who is he?" You know, so it's not like they knew. Yeah. What do I need, bro? I just had surgery. Well, what do I need, bro? I just had surgery in your ears when we go there.
Bro, chill, bro. Chill, bro. Hey, Joe New, bro.
Back up.
Hey, go. Call Drew.
Now, right here. Okay, hold on.
Call Drew.
So what's happening there? Some other football players. And football players are not little guys.
No.
You know, they see these big guys coming their way. All of a sudden, their red flags go up another notch, you know?
Yeah.
And I know. So this guy, he wants to go help his buddy out, but he doesn't care that he's cops, and he should care. This is how people die. It's how they get shot. Yes. And then they cry victim. And I say that because cams have actually shown there's a lot of flaw bigots out there. There's a lot, especially with the politicians. Yeah, whether white or black. You know who I am? I'm just fucking telling. And then they'll deny it. They deny it. No, I never said that. Yeah. It's like, dude, you fought to have cams on cops. And all of a sudden you forget there's a cam out there. And sure enough, we'll talk about it here in a bit, but cams have a difference here.
To put it into perspective, too, Calais Campbell, who was one of his teammates that pulled over, he's 6'7 and 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, he is the most God-fearing man you'll ever see in a football uniform.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Call Drew, bro.
Hey, listen.
What he's doing that's wrong is entering the situation, becoming part of the scenario. Two, his car is illegally parked. That's a potential accident waiting to happen.
Yep.
You know, three, the cops told him, back off, and he's not.
Hey, listen, man, they got Tyreek, the cops over here beating on him, man.
Right there, on the line.
Gosh, dude.
See, this doesn't help their cause. He's beating on him, man. He's beating on him. You know, he's bringing up old racial tropes. That's what that comment is meant to show. But now that it's on camera, it does the exact opposite. It creates more anger and more hatred towards him. And there's a lot of racism, bigotry, and a lot of hate. All he did was contribute to that. With a stereotype. A stereotype of cops beating up the black man. There was no beating them up. They told his ass, sit down, he wouldn't. You know, you're gonna go and get tackled, going 30 miles an hour with some linebackers and cornermen, and all of a sudden having to sit down, my knee, I just had surgery, my knee! You know, bullshit. You know, he's just being an a-hole.
Yep.
You know, all right.
Over here beating on Tyreek, man.
Don't park there, man. Just get in the car.
Hey, Drew, you gotta come, man.
All right. The cop was polite there. Hey, listen, big man. Don't park the car there. He's trying to be polite. You know, probably because he's a big guy. Don't want to rile this guy up. Let's see, get him to leave the scene quietly.
Just get in the car.
Right on the side of the.
Hey, get in the car. You're parked in the middle of the street.
See, right there. Now. That guy's going, who are you to talk to me like that? He's refusing to comply. You know, by law, that cop has the authority. And even if the cop is wrong, do what the cop says and get your lawyer and deal with it afterwards. Because you will lose. You can't outrun a gun. You can't outrun a taser. It's hard to fight back against a baton when there's three other cops. And I'm not defending the cops. I'm just saying he is escalating this situation. See, as a Latino, some of my friends who are liberal will say, dude, what's the matter with you, man? Just all cops are bad. That, you know, some of my fellow Latinos and most of the libertarians I know. Big John!
Oh, man.
I'm kidding, Big John. I said it because usually he's producing, but he's not here to defend himself. Yeah.
I'm in the car. I'm not in the car.
Who's the driver?
This is my car.
All right, move. You got to move right now. Let me have your license. You're gonna take it too.
I'm coming.
Let me have your license. You're gonna take it. Let me have your license.
I'm leaving.
I'm not playing. Let me have your license.
Okay, so he went from being an a-hole to now the cop's an a-hole, but the cop's pissed. And now all of a sudden, I'm leaving. You should have done that in the first place. The cop is not in the right. He should have been a little bit more calm. But the cop is also frustrated. He's frustrated. Mm-hmm. He's got a couple of big guys there who just won't listen or being a-holes. And you can tell his frustration is on. This is a scary cop. and I'm not trying to say this to denigrate cops, but this cop should have been more reserved, more calmer. But the brother's not helping. You know, and the brother's a big guy, so the cop's mm-hmm. also nervous. He may not show it, but that's just that human instinct. When every, I'm 5'7", you could be 5'8", and I'm going to be nervous. You know, it's got bigger than me, you know? It's, yeah. That's just how life is.
Your license right now. Your license right now. You're not going to give me your license? Hey, you're not going to give me your license?
I'm leaving.
Let me have your license. Leaving. Your license right now.
Sir,
hey, your license right now.
All of a sudden, sir, you want me to leave? See, it takes the threat of actually being arrested or getting taken down yourself to leave. But and see, so that's not a manner of respect. That's a manner of manhood egos, meaning my wee-wee's bigger than yours now because I had the law. I had the badge on my side, fair or not. All of a sudden, he wants to comply. He should have been comply. He should have just said, look, I'm just his friend. I just want to make sure everything's okay. And that one cop, I'm pretty sure, would have said, yeah, we're just going to give him a citation. This, he's cool. But it was that male. But in fact, let me get your thoughts on this. To me, both sides were seeing too much testosterone. And that's why. And I'm not knocking either side. I'm saying you are a football player. You're getting ready to play in front of, 100,000 that holds the stadium holds, if not close to it. And then you have cops with the badge. You know, you have responsibility to your owner, your team, the fans, to your job, more importantly, to yourself and to your family so you don't get thrown in the slammer. The cops had the responsibility to society and to uphold. So to me, there's just too much testosterone. I don't want to put words in your mouth. That's how I see it. Joe, how do you see it? And then Jimmy.
So, I mean, quite simply, like we stem it from the initial pulling over of Tyreek's car and not listening to direction. And then you look at what's transpiring now with his teammates. Like, not only are you involving yourself, like you said, into the situation, the cops are giving you a direction and you're just not following through with what they say until it's like, oh, now they're going to arrest me. Man, I need to get out of here. Like, now that they've made the decision, we're like, hey, listen, I simply asked you for your ID. Now, because now you've gotten them, they asked you, like, hey, you guys got to keep moving. You got to get in your car and leave. Get in your car and leave. Didn't listen. Now the next step, give me your ID. Now the cop, like you said, is so frustrated up to this point because of the Tyreek Hill situation, is now boiled over. And now you're now someone else getting involved. They're not listening, just like Tyreek Hill wasn't listening. And he's definitely had it. Like it's like, listen, either you're gonna listen to me now or something's gonna happen. I'm gonna handcuff you. Like I'm gonna take you into custody because you're not listening until we find out who you are. Because again, we talk about safety for cops. This is another thing. This car just pulled over. Couple guys are in the car. They don't know who they are. Are they showing up to help Tyreek Hill bust out of there? They don't know that. So they're taking it on head on and giving demands until, oh, now you're going to arrest me? Now the guy's like, oh, you want me out of here? I'll get out of here now. This other – your boy wants to arrest me. I'm out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's gone too far to this point. So now you're in the situation that you're in.
Jimmy, your take.
Again, I said, Joe and I have seen this a bunch of times working at the nightclubs. It's the same situation. Doesn't matter if you're black or white, drunk or sober. He's on a phone, having conversation, ignoring what the police officer is saying while, an investigation is going on or with, you know, an altercation with somebody that they had stopped. He is illegally parked. He is spreading lies on the phone saying that they're, you know, roughing him up and beating him up.
Yeah.
And when they're telling him, just go leave, you know, this or this, he's just ignoring them as if he's higher up here and whatever they have to say has nothing to do with him and he's above the law. So now they're just frustrated, say, listen, you're telling your buddy, whoever you're on the phone with, that we are abusing this person, assaulting this person, and we're telling you to leave and you're just ignoring me. I gave you three times, just like I said, three times, and then that's it. You're done. You know what I mean? They had enough. Yep. They're over frustrated. Yes, a little maybe too testosterone on the police officer's side. But again, frustration because the guy is clearly ignoring him and has no respect for the law. He thinks he's above the law. And again, this whole time, this person in the passenger spot, creeping out of the car, just hanging out. You know what I mean?
They don't know.
What is this guy doing? He's getting closer to getting out. is he going to start to get out and cause a problem? And the funny thing, I think, to me, when this goes down, now that the cop is actually going to arrest, you know, Clive Campbell, or at least put cuffs on him, whips out his phone for a good good old video.
Yeah. Yeah, and at that point, it doesn't matter. You see, this is where – you see, and this is what happens, whether you're a politician, a white silver spoon guy, a rich back athlete. It doesn't matter. The problem here is they pull that video out and they selectively decide what to show the public after they film. Yep. That's what makes the body cams so much better.
Better.
You know, through the laws, they have to release them all. All right.
Now, or I'm going to lock your license right now. Your license right now. You're dealing with me now. Sir. Your license right now.
And that's it. Now.
Yep.
At the end of the day, he pissed the cop off. And the cop's like, I don't care what this cop said. I'm telling you, give me your license. And if the guy's still arguing, aren't you going to just show him the damn license? And that's going to defuse it. But too much egos, too much testosterone. And the only reason I think it wasn't even about confrontation at that point. That point, what's his name again? The player there is probably thinking, oh,
Elias
no.
Campbell?
Yeah, I don't know if it's Elias or not.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, I don't. I can't identify him because the video's a little sketchy. Yeah.
Well, at that point, he's probably thinking, oh, hell, I'm not going to be able to make it to the game if this escalates out of hand here. You know? That's what they're probably thinking, that. You know? Because at the end of the day, the cam showed the reality. Was the cop a little rough? I will defend the cop and say, yeah, he was a little rough. Tyreek brought it on him. Mm-hmm. I won't sit there and placate those. Yeah, you're right. He was a little rough. And I'll admit, yeah, too much testosterone. But this was because you get – to three big guys, because the guy was sitting in the car, you know, you get the guy who doesn't want to comply, the guy who's whining like a little vajayjay, and that pisses cops off too. It's like, you're not bad, all of a sudden you're still talking trash, but still whining like a little girl with that high pitch Mike Tyson voice.
Yeah, know? Yeah, and it's funny too. It's funny too because after all this was done, he goes to play the game, right? Although the tickets did not mandate Hill's appearance in court, he was billed, get this, $308 in fines if found guilty. What's funny about that is the fact that he signed a four-year, $120 million contract extension. $72 million of that is guaranteed. I don't think the $300 fine is going to be that much of a factor for him. But in hindsight, what it really shows you is like, he's acting like you said, like he's acting like a baby, all for what? What was – you just made this so big for no reason, you could have took your tickets, paid them off later, and everything would have been fine. In fact, you just overblown this because you like the attention, because you want to fight cops, or you want to basically try to tell cops what to do because of your rap sheet. Your history with cops is bad. So you want to try to, you know, try to give a little nudge back to the law enforcement and give them a hard time over nothing, over a few hundred dollars.
And, you know, it's not like he's got that rap sheet that's going to impress anybody if he ever went, say, to prison or if he's talking with a brother.
No,
So what are you in for? Or what'd you do? I beat my woman, man. I beat she deserved. Oh, yeah, yeah. Come here, woman. Come here. Yeah. Yeah, really? Is that it? Just a woman? Oh, I got a couple kids in there, too. A couple kids, yeah. It's like it's not even an impressive – it's not even an impressive bad boy rap sheet there, beating women, you know. Now –
no.
I applaud, I spit on the Dolphins and Stephen Ross for not taking a stance. Stephen Ross, as the owner of the Dolphins, said, look, I'm in support of my guy, but he should have abided by what the cop says, and none of this would have happened. I'm going to talk with him. I'm going to have a talk with the police chief to make sure, hey, you know, your guys can act, you know, play a political game, but instead they wanted to side with him. This is a situation in today's political climate. It's not going to look good PR-wise. You know, for Tyreek Hill. It's like I said in the live podcast after the Trump-Kamala debate with some of the tropes that were said there, that this isn't 2020. This isn't 2022. This isn't the summer of protest love. We're past that. We're tired of that. So when you see a prima donna here, then he plays the race card, I'm just a black man in America, bruh, with a nice car. No, you're just an asshole. You're just another rich asshole in America in a Latin town, bro. You know? So let's make that clear. You know, that brown man did not like you, what you did. So the race car will not work in a town like that. And I'm speaking from experience as a Latino with both white and black, with a Latino whose brown relatives told me, dude, you're the special one. Why? Because they saw me as a white person who wouldn't be treated as they were. You know, right or wrong, the perception is there. But they also understand that I wasn't like a white person in the sense I was family. Meaning, I guess what I'm trying to say is they're not going to look at this and side with Tyreek because he's a person of color. They're going to look at the situation and say, bruh, no, no, no. And I'm sorry, you don't kind of mess with the Cuban cops either. I suspect they're probably Cuban. You know, so. The South Florida Police Benevolent Association, that cracks me up with cops. It's always something benevolent. I'm like, man, that cop wasn't benevolent when he jacked me up. And I guess one reason I'm jaded is because I was Tyreek Hill, except I was worse with my mouth. I mean, you guys hear me blab on these podcasts. I was like an animal. Like a meerkat, you know, him being the tiger. I'm the little meerkat thinking I'm a tiger. I'm like the foo-foo dog thinking I'm a tiger. And the actual copying the tiger put me down, you know?
Right.
So at the end of the day, Hill was issued citations for careless driving and driving without a seatbelt. As Joe, as you already alluded to, all that crap for a simple careless driving and without a seatbelt. And what makes it worse is his arrogance. You guys may be too young, but when they changed the seatbelt law and you got stopped, we didn't wear our seatbelts. This is a habit. But when the cops started walking up, you're hurrying up and putting the seatbelt on. not Tyree. It's arrogance, you know. Now, what irked me is the officer was put on administrative duty leave. I wouldn't worry about him. His union will take care of this. They'll wait for it to go away because Tyreek Hill does not look good in this situation because the other players – see, the other players make it a bad look when you see the video. Jesse Jackson himself said, you know, I see a bunch of brothers walking on the street because I'm going to go across the street. You know, so there's an ugly, dirty perception we should not have, but it's there because of human nature. You know, and nobody wants to talk about that. As you said, you get a 300-pound guy. It doesn't matter. He could be a big white guy, but you get a 300-pound man, and your guard's going to – it's like a dog. The hairs on your back are going to stand up. So it's just a completely ugly situation. And I say that freely as a Latino. What irks me is in today's political climate, a white man can't speak the truth in how he sees it, whether right or wrong. Because and until we can have that discussion freely, this is going to remain tribalistic. That's why my whole take is you're in a Latino town. It isn't like New York City, which, by the way, is 50% minority of the cops there, which is another trope they try to portray. You know, it's like American politicians who want to play the tribalistic game act as if we're stuck in the 1960s and 70s. Mm-hmm. You know, we have actually moved forward as people. So the overall take is that from the officer side, their union, their people, their command, and I'm with them, is that the officers were within their legal framework. Could they have been more gentler? Sure, maybe. You know, should they have been? Sure, maybe. Did they have to be legally? No, they did not. Because Tyreek Hill is one who initiated everything. The police union statement supports the views that the officers followed protocol and detaining Hill for their safety. Now, I'm going to jump down, then I'm going to get your comments. The dangers facing law enforcement. Traffic stops have long been one of the most perilous situations for police officers. 45% of officer fatalities during stops occur in the early stages. The majority of these early fatalities happen during the approach to the vehicle. You guys may be too young. I say that a lot only because a lot of these new laws happened as I was coming up at that young age, right before I became an adult legally. You know, so I was caught up in the middle of this. Tinted windows became uber popular when I was a kid, 15, 16, and then at 18. Then once I was 18, you started hearing stories. You started seeing on the national news, cops getting shot behind the tinted windows. So that fear has been there. So taking a step back, trying – I can't look at it fairly because I was Tyreek Hill. So and now as an adult, a law-abiding citizen, I see – yeah, Tyreek Hill was in wrong. So I am biased. You two take – I mean, you two may be biased. So you may be bank robbers for all I know, you know. But, you know, there you go. How do you look at it from the bigger picture? Should the cops have been gentler, less responsive? Was there too much – I guess what I'm asking before we move on, we'll start with you, Jimmy. What is your whole honest take on this? And then we'll go to Joe.
I think it all played out the way it you know, you expect it the way he initiated it. One thing that people don't like, it's one thing if you get aggressive. One thing people don't like is all of a sudden you point at them and they're doing their job and you say, yeah, your job doesn't matter, bro. Like, I don't care. Give me my ticket. Move on. See you later. You know what I mean? You go to a fast food place. Just flip your burgers, man. Shut up. You know, and give me my food. Get the hell out of here. Whatever. You know what I mean? People don't like to be demeaned. They don't like to do this. Hey, you don't matter. And he instantly went at it that way. And they're like, listen, I pulled you over because you were, you know, not obeying the law and this and that. And I'm in the authority here. And how dare you say something like that to me? And then I'm telling you to do this. And he just, no respect for them. Mm-hmm. It escalated again by him not complying, again, doing what they're told. Because in that situation, you were in the wrong automatically, and they were going to be a routine traffic stop. It would have been a routine traffic stop because, again, they probably could at one point, at least after they ran his license, they're like, all right, this is Tyreek Hill, whatever. They're probably not going to let him off even. But he was already looking at it as, give me my ticket already. I'll pay it, and I'll be done. I don't care about $300 or whatever. He really doesn't care. But he didn't have to say it that way and go about it as if they didn't even matter. They were even part of the equation of that happening. Just like, here, right. Just yeah, go right there. Give me my ticket. See you later. I've already been through this. Bye. I really don't care about you.
You know, and that's ironic, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. That's ironic because in the Latino and Black culture, it's all about respect.
Mm-hmm.
He did the exact opposite. You know, and that's what I try to tell people. It has nothing to do with culture. It's everything to do with class.
Yeah.
Where you think you are on that totem pole. I go, politicians have us at each other's throats tribalistically, culturally, racially, whatever you want to call it. But it really is a class issue here. Joe, your overall take on this.
Tyreek Hill's a bum. And if he just simply did what every other normal American does when they get pulled over, and lower your window and do what the cop says, none of this would have been a big issue. Everybody would have moved on. You wouldn't even have heard of this. It would have been a non-factor. Mm-hmm. It would have been a non-story. We wouldn't be talking about it right now. So
right.
I just think it's absolutely ludicrous. It's ridiculous that this even occurred. But this happens all the time with professional athletes, not just in the NFL and any other sport, where correct. There's some bad apples that think they're above the law because they – made it and they're making millions of dollars and they have all these cars and these houses. And so they just get like almost like a complex that they're just now that they've made it, that they can do whatever they want. And it's not the case. And if this was handled the right way, again, it wouldn't be a non-factor. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous that we're actually even talking about it because it shouldn't be this big of a story.
Correct. I agree. I'll end it with this story, too. On the flip side, I knew this kid where they had just changed the drinking law from 18 to 21. He decided to drive his drunk, hammered friend home in his friend's car. It was in the downtown area where on the highway where you have the big lights that are like 50 yards apart. So you don't really need your own. You don't realize your headlights may not be on.
No.
And the kid got pulled over. He blew underneath the legal limit, but he still blew drunk, but he was underage now because they had just changed the law from 18 to 21. Mm-hmm. The kid was super polite to the cop, explained the situation. The cop was polite. He also had a lawyer in the car with him, one of those ride along. The lawyer was becoming the cop. Got it. The cop put in a great word to the DA, got reduced to careless and reckless, and the judge applauded the kid for being polite. And I went on my merry way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was me driving my drunk friend home. So I have a tale. And it's funny because that's when I was younger, listening to my father. When I got angry was when I was in my young 20s, a dumb punk ass kid in the military. So you see, that's one bad thing about manliness and arrogance of being Latino and wearing your emotions on your sleeve. You know, I was doing the right thing, explained to the cop. You know, got to take care of. Except, and you know what? My parents made me pay for the lawyer. My mom being a law-abiding citizen, you're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty, mm-hmm. son. I love you, but you're guilty. You know, and they refused to pay for a lawyer. So I went out, paid the lawyer. The lawyer worked it all out. You know, so there's two sides to the tales in terms of how you should act in front of cops and the benefits. Yeah. of being a good criminal versus a bad criminal. All right, guys, we're gonna push back the Matt Araiza topic because that's one of the topics I've been looking forward to talking, and I don't want to shortchange it. So we're gonna talk about Deshaun Watson because we can talk about that for an hour, but it's pretty much a closed type situation. And I call this segment Watson's penny-pinching gamble. How refusing to settle one last case could cost him millions and his NFL career. Okay. Now, the reason I say that is because it appears that this woman was trying to settle this out with Deshaun and his lawyer, and they didn't want to settle out. So to set up the story, a new civil lawsuit was filed in Houston September 9th, a couple days ago, that accuses Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and battery, as well as intentional infliction of emotional distress. The alleged incident occurred in 2020 when Watson was with the Texans. Now, I said masseuse table in my opening, but this was a date, you know.
Yeah.
The plaintiff, identified as Jane Doe, claims Watson forcefully penetrated her without consent during what was supposed to be a dinner date at her apartment. Now, as a man, I'm like, red flag, set up, money grab here. But with Watson's track record, even if it is true, it doesn't look good for Watson. So the lawsuit marks the 27th civil case. I just want some love. That's awesome. Love. That's the shot. Love. That's all I want. You know, it's a 27th civil case against Watson related to sexual misconduct allegations. On a side note, Watson's a good looking guy. He's rich. You would think he doesn't. It's like Darren Woods from the Green Bay Packers, the cornerback that was on NFL Network, you know, putting the stuff in the grocery. It's like, dude, you're good. It's like, why do these good-looking rich guys seem? It's like, I guess it must be true, and I do believe it. It's not about what I just said. It's about power, about control. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. So, real quick, he settled 20 of 24 lawsuits early on in June of 2022. He eventually settled the rest of them out. All 26 had been settled. Even the Texans settled out because they were seen as enablers. They were what Tyreek Hill should have been. The Texans were like, yeah, we're not going to get into this. Yeah, you're right. Here you go. Pay off. Get off our backs. And they took care of it as they should have. No criminal charges were done. Now, the grand jury, that was kind of fishy. People who were following the case, legal analysts were telling us, the NFL conducted its own investigation, 11-game suspension, $5 million fine. Watson is an up-and-comer. He was seen as a potential face of the league, new young quarterback. I think he got preferential treatment of that. Most other people would have been given the Ray Lewis treat. Not Ray Lewis, but the running back for the Ravens.
Rice.
Ray Rice treatment.
Ray Rice, you know? Yep.
Yeah. Watson has consistently denied all these charges. In fact, his apology kind of pissed people off. He's like, yeah, you're sorry. Yeah, whatever. I'm sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the arrogant, I'm sorry. Like, I'm saying I'm sorry because I have to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, this and in the middle of all this was a monster deal, a fully guaranteed $230 million contract in 2022, and he's restructured it twice. And since 2022, what are we looking at? We're in 2026, 4 years, 13 games. And they've been paying him out because they have to. 172, okay. If the Browns were to release him because of this, see, there's what people may not realize out there is, first of all, your thoughts on all of this leading up. Let's not talk about number 27 yet, but we all thought this was finally behind him. So we just gave you the history here. Before we get into the details, when you first heard another woman, what were your initial thoughts here, Joe?
Initially, I thought it was just another money grab, basically, because of all the number of accounts that were coming after him in the beginning. I initially, when he first went to court for the 20-plus women that were coming forward with the rape case, I thought with that number of women, I'm like, dude, this guy seriously did this. He ruined his career. He's done. Like, I can't believe he would make multiple dumb decisions, I guess. And when it came out, like, oh, nope, it didn't go through the court. He wasn't deemed guilty. Then he moved on to civil court. Then it was more just like, it's just a money grab at that point. So he paid them all off. Now it's all done. Then this new case is starting. and it's like this one woman comes out from 4 years ago or 20, what was it? What was the year?
2020.
Yeah. From 2020. Why did you wait? That I automatically now question that is because there was all these women that you could have like kind of jumped on with, and why did you wait so long to put this case forward now? So now that puts doubt in my mind as I'm looking as an outsider looking in, and I'm like, oh, this is probably most likely to me just another woman that wants to try to grab more money out of Deshaun Watson.
Fair enough.
And I should, and honestly, I should be taking a more balanced approach and be like, well, maybe this is the one that he did wrong and she's coming forward. But that's where my mind goes, is I just automatically think now because of everything that happened and transpired with his first case, now I just look at this and I'm like, oh, this is just another woman that's looking for more money.
You know, Jimmy, it's like with Tyreek, I'm like, my experience, I'm like, yeah, I know you, Tyreek. This is on you. In this case, I'm with Joe. Again, you know, I'm a political guy. This is where they want tribalism to take place. I'm like, no. It's like, to me, this is like women who want money. Now, is Deshaun Watson a saint? No. I'm like, did he pressure? Maybe. So I'm like, pay out, fair enough. You want to get your thing. But I'm like, statistically speaking, there's a lot of money grabbing here. You know, this happened in 2020. Did she go to the police and file charges? I don't know. You know, I'm like Joe. I'm like, oh man, lots of red flags here. You know, so my take initially, I'm not saying I'm right, but my initial take is like, yeah, probably a money grabber. But again, I hate saying that because I don't want people to brand me neither. But that's kind of what I'm thinking just initially. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts, Jimmy? Oh, and by the way, Jimmy, I like the glasses look there.
The glasses? Thank you. They're the blue light. They help a lot. And as I'm getting older, even though you like to say, you know, I might not be old enough, I am getting old enough that my sight, I think, is getting worse. But it's inevitable. It's funny. I'm not afraid of tagging me with things. So the thing that gets me on this one is – with the Tyreek thing, they try to play, you know, like you said, the race card, you know, tribalism, blah, blah. This thing is about women again. And women that fall into this. Now this has happened so much, and they've done this kind of to themselves, that we are going to this scenario now, and we're thinking, well, it's probably a money grab. That this has happened so many times, and there's so many decisions that women have made in this type of situation that it's believable that this was a money grab or something that she was like, oh, I don't know, but I'll do it anyways. I know there was I was listening to shout out to Matt Walsh on the Daily Wire, and he had brought up there's a podcast that a woman hosts, one of the biggest ones that women listen to, and she got a big deal from SiriusXM or something, and she was bringing up a situation to where she was met up with a person that she was talking to online in Paris, and they got an Airbnb together. Found out that when they actually hung out and met each other, couldn't stand each other, all right? So they got along when they're talking. They meet up at this Airbnb. They can't stand each other. She stays anyways, doesn't instantly get a plane ticket and flies out, and still has sex with him. And then after the situation, she leaves and says, again, this guy he's not as good looking as he was. He's an a-hole. We don't get along. You're good enough to have sex though while I'm here. I might as well do that, right?
And then, are you talking about Alex Cooper? Is it Alex Cooper?
It could be. I'm not sure. I can't remember her name and I apologize for that, but then she tells everybody this whole scenario, this situation. She's upset that now she has an STD from this guy and goes and talks to women and said, but women, you understand what I'm talking about. You've all been there, right? And this and this and blah, blah. And there are actual women that say, oh, yeah, I totally get that, that awkwardness you feel. So you feel like you have to stay and all this stuff. And people wonder why, you know, they feel this way about women when they do things like this. Because, again, Watson – he potentially is, you know, predatorial in a sense because of massages and some of the stories we've heard and stuff. The things that some women do, and we've seen this time and time again, and the timing, like Joe says, serious red flag that we instantly have gone to this situation and be like, this is where we're at now. And it's almost like there, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty at this point, like literally, because we don't believe her at this point.
Oh, you know, you bring up a good point, and I think that's a fair term to put is, I'm not going to say he's a sexual predator, but his whole shtick was that of a sexual predator. Going to the masseuse, accidentally, oops, my towel dropped. Yes, that's my penis there. Oh,
yeah,
my son, it's erected. You know, that's actually a sexual predator. But in his mind, it's a pickup line. And I'll be honest, I was in the Navy. Guys are the worst. We're like, dude, that's not a pickup line. That's just wrong. You don't do that. And nobody told him. Again, another young man, once his special talent was discovered, not being on the masseuse table, being a quarterback, he was never told no, never told right from wrong. Always everything was covered up. So in his mind, he was just picking chicks up because nobody sat him down and said, dude, that's not how you pick up chicks. Mm-hmm. You know, he would have been safer and cheaper. I mean, he would have saved more money by just going and got into prostitute at that point, seriously, because they're the payout. So I am with both of you guys here. Now, that said, 13 games, and out of those 13, let's be honest, he's probably looked good for about six quarters of those 13 games. You know, outside of that, it's your comment, he's getting the rust off. He's getting, oh, look, that's old Deshaun Watson. He just needs more practice. So 13 games in, we're still waiting for him to kind of put it all together. So you have to think, because if I'm a general manager, I'm looking at my salary cap. I'm looking at production. I'm looking at my defense that is built, that is Super Bowl ready now. I'm looking at an offense that Joe Flacco took to the playoffs, and I'm thinking, if this goes south, we can cut them on the morals clause. And it's not about them. To me, it's not about salary cap. It's nothing. It's about saving over $100 million here. I mean, you're talking hard cash for the owner here. We're not talking chump change. However, football wise, $172 million dead money cap hit in 2025. $172 million. Yeah, I think that's bigger than the cap. It's a $99 million hit in 2026, both of which would set records for the highest dead money in NFL history. So this boils down to, let's say he's found guilty this is border on the criminal. It's like, do you do the right thing and cut him and just eat that type of money? Or do you sit there and put business first? This is an ethical question I'm posing to you first, Joe.
Well, it's. So, obviously, like, it's bad PR for the Cleveland Browns now because they have his rights. He's playing for them, and that's how it's going to be seen. From a personal standpoint, if I was running the Cleveland Browns, and the whole point of the NFL is you want production. You want to get better. You want to be one of the best teams. You want to win, and you want to win a championship at the end of it all. If you don't see Deshaun Watson – and so far, like, he's been terrible for the Browns. Hasn't been able to put it all together.
Do you see him? Do you see him that way down the road?
Do I see him to get better?
Championship material down the road. Do you see that?
Well, I do see that from him as soon as he gets back in form, yes. Because it's not like he forgot how to play quarterback. Like, from the days of when he was as a Houston Texan, that was his he was very young, just in the early stages of his prime, and just kind of took over the NFL, was playing at a super high level. And that's what kind of led to him getting the big money that he has today, is in hopes of, like, okay, now he's a Cleveland Brown. We see him as taking us over the top with this team. And so far we haven't seen that. But if there's no production this season, that's when the owner is going to have to sit down and really think about this. Like, it's not getting any better. We thought this would get better after a couple years. It's not getting better. It's staying stagnant. That's the case. Then you have to move on from him. You have to move on from that money that, yes, you're going to have to pay him his guaranteed money that you've agreed to, of course. And you're going to have to bite the bullet for a large sum of dead cap space. Now, I would say if it's next season that you're going to be cutting him, post-June cut would be the best bet, because now for dead money, it's going to be $118 million. And then for your cap savings, it's not going to be a cap saving. Instead, you're going to be paying $46 million out of your cap. So it's a less of a burden if you do designate it as a post-June 1st cut for the following season in 25. That, to me, is your out. That's the best chance of you getting out of this contract with the least amount of cost. and you move on and you find your future quarterback in the draft?
Jimmy.
Again, I even did a thing on our show, the Blindside Blitz, which you can also find on grumblingsmedia.com and on their YouTube channel. Make sure you guys check out our show, the Blindside Blitz, every Tuesday night. We had brought this up in part of my pick six, segment where I picked six different things that I realized after week one was maybe Deshaun Watson is not going to get back to what he was potentially. You know, his last year with Houston was his best season ever. You know, 4,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. The pinnacle, like Joe said, you know, he was at the top, and then it came crushing down. Sometimes that destroys, people's careers, and they just can't get back from just their life being, a wreck, stuff like that. It's not that they lost, being able to play anymore, but he has been banged up a little bit. And it was kind of jokingly too, because they have a big season left over to play. They did play the Dallas Cowboys, who have a very tough defense. So he could potentially dig himself out of this, but the Cleveland Browns made a huge investment, and he is still, 29 here. So in quarterback years, he's still got some time to go. So I think they kind of ride this thing out and kind of, whichever way the, air blows, I guess, with this situation. If it is smoke and then there's fire, they might decide to make it, but I don't think prematurely they're going to make any kind of cuts and things. And like Kevin Stefanski had said that, they're looking forward to Jacksonville and, they expect to play him and stuff like that. They're going to do that because, again, money talks. That's their investment. They invested in all that. They contend to be a playoff contender here. That's what they want to be. And we've seen also this franchise, the Cleveland Browns, they haven't really stood on a whole lot of different moral grounds for a lot of it, different situations. I mean, Right. Remember, they did also bring in Kareem Hunt to play on their team, too, as well, after the situation that he was involved with. So,
no, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, my take is he's 28. His best season came when he was 24. He's gotten thicker, fatter, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, meaning he's filled out. Mm-hmm. He did a lot with his legs, has had some knee injuries. He's got to transition to become more of a pocket quarterback. He's got to learn how to play the game. They got such a big investment that those are positives if he can do that for the team.
Yes.
And I think they're stuck with him. But if they keep – this team is built to win now.
Yes.
The thing with the defense in today's free agency, it's so hard to keep a team together. And that defense was ready to win the Super Bowl last year. This is year two of that window. They have maybe after this year, two more years at best. And I'm stretching it by giving them a complete four-year window defensively. It all boils down to Myles Garrett and his health and his ability, because he is the anchor of that defense. But at the end of the day, they're stuck with him. He still has a chance to develop. But that was a kid. He was like a Lamar Jackson. I just thought he was more smooth. He was smoother than Lamar.
He's more accurate.
Lamar, a better passer. But Lamar is more of a, I'll get in your grill with that, put my shoulder down and run into you. Deshaun was more of a dancer. Whoop, he would dodge you. I mean, you'd miss him, you know. So at 28, thicker, bigger, some of that may be gone. So if they really need to work on his fundamentals to be a quarterback. And I don't know if he still has it.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone through a lot mentally. You know, he hasn't been focused on football, so he's got to get back into that. And you're right. I don't care what Stefanski says right now. He's going to sit there and say are the right things.
Yes.
Talk to me in week 12 if he's still playing like he did in week one, about how things are okay. We're looking forward to the future because – what I'm going to tell the audience here is don't watch what the coaches say. Don't watch what Rusty Harden, his lawyer, says. Don't watch what what Deshaun says. Watch how his players treat him on the field, how they pick him up after the play, how they get into the enemy's grill if they take a cheap shot. That's what you watch, because if he still has that team, if he still has that locker room, they will be like a pit bull on a bone, or a pit bull on a leg, I guess. I don't know. Whatever the saying is, but that's how you know if a player's lost it. And that'll help dictate the ownership what to do, because if a quarterback does lose a team, they kind of have no choice. So I'm not saying that's happening, but I'm saying that's what I'm looking for, because they're stuck with him. They are stuck with him. You know, I mean, I Joe, I wasn't laughing at you, but when you sit there and say, yeah, right. you know, they take a reduced cap hit of $118 million post-June. You know?
Compared to, yeah, but, compared to what he would have been paid. I mean, that's the crazy thing. Is that, that's how you got to look at contracts, though. So, like, I mean, it's
yeah,
and, it's foreign to the everyday person, right? With the, with
we're
the big
still
money,
talking
so.
118, the most in NFL history. See, to me, that just makes it a no-brainer.
They,
we can't
they also have the second most cap space, though, for teams. And, like, if they wanted to, if they really believe that, that if they wanted to, you know, get rid of Deshaun Watson, we'll say this, and then, you know, if they have, you know, they have Jameis Winston there, if they don't really believe that Jameis Winston or DTR can get him anywhere – which that's true. Oh, you have Ryan Tannehill out there and things like that. So you could sign Ryan Tannehill potentially, and he's been able to bring teams to the playoffs and stuff. You've seen it with the Titans and stuff. So they might go that route.
No, no, yeah, and you're right. You're right. I'm not laughing at you. I'm just
no. I get it.
We go from Tyreek Hill to Deshaun Watson, and all of a sudden,
to the finger like
Jameis Winston, there. guy with his own off the field issues. You know?
The crab legs thief. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So that's what I'm saying. This organization is terrible.
Well, hey, people don't realize it, but the owner, I forget the owner's name, he was under the investigation by the FBI. Has him for corruption himself. With his own businesses. So you're right. It's from the top down. That's just not a good culture there. So Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardin, said, hey, we're behind him. He's going to be – he's innocent. We're going to vindicate it. The plaintiff's attorney, Tony Busby, claims that he contacted Hardin 10 months ago seeking a resolution and that Watson was aware of the woman's claims. Because Watson came out and said, first I heard of it was when you guys heard of it. That I don't believe for one second. See, that's what I think. Watson, you think we're that stupid? Yeah, no, we're not. We know good. Your lawyer could lose his license if you come out saying, I never knew about it. Because your lawyer cannot say yes or no to any deal without consulting you. So don't come with that nonsense. Public opinion is divided on this. The NFL is currently reviewing the new allegations under his personal conduct policy. They're not going to put him on the commissioner's exempt list, which means he's kind of suspended without being suspended but he's still suspended type rule. But there are potential implications if this does come out. Because of all of that, my take is that they will settle this out of court rather quickly. I would not be shocked if by this Sunday this has been settled. Jimmy, your thoughts, and then Joe, and then we'll close it out. In terms of if it'll be settled.
Oh, if it'll be settled? All the rest have so far. Like you said, he said he contacted 10 months ago seeking resolution. So they're already trying to figure out what's going on to wrap this thing up, basically, it seems like, you know. And like you said, it's been so much time removed, and where Deshaun Watson is right now, I think this, again, it gets swept under the rug or whatever, gets handled, settles in court, and he's still playing.
Yeah,
Joe, it's actually a win-win if that happens. Your take.
Yeah. 100%, and that's what I fully expect to happen, because why wouldn't it happen any differently now?
Like, okay, real quick though, Joe, why do you think it's going to be settled?
Real quickly, because so far there hasn't been any official evidence put up against him. He hasn't been charged yet. You know what I mean? He hasn't been indicted to come in or anything like that. So it's like everything's going to go along as normal right now. And in the meantime, his agent, everybody else, the organization, are all going to figure out how to handle this quickly and end it right now before it even gets anywhere. So I just really believe that, like, they're just going to look to kind of settle this no matter what and be done with it and then move on.
Right. I agree. I think it's going to be settled for the simple fact that the PR – I think it's going to be settled because the public's divided on this. If the public had come out 100%, if the fans had come out – if he had come out and played like fire
– mm-hmm.
The week one, he may have told her, no, we're not going to settle this because I've got the city of Cleveland behind me. Mm-hmm. Now he does it. Then he's like, I don't need this PR. And I think that's why it's going to be settled to go away. And in a way, that's probably best for all. She gets her payout because all three of us are like, maybe a money grab. So she gets her money fine. He gets to put it under, behind him and move forward. And with that, my friends, I apologize for, not getting to the Matt Ariza. That's a very heavy, story there. And I wanted to give the fair time, but I had a blast talking about Tyreek Hill. It brought back, you know, it's funny. That was all a nightmare saga for me. I was angry and bitter. Now I laugh at it 30 years later and I realize, Essa here was in the wrong, you know?
There you go. Growth is key, William. Yeah. Growth
exactly,
is key.
Exactly. So I had a blast with that segment. Thank you guys for that. And as always, to everybody else, you can find this podcast, Points on the Board. You can find the Blindside Blitz, which is our football show hosted by Jimmy and Joe. And real quick, before I give the rest of our pitch and where to find us, tell me a little bit about football on the –
Football on the No show. Again, we cover every single team. We are very interactive with everybody. We bring in the comments, and we will change the subject on a dot to whatever you guys bring up. So that's what the thing about that show. It is getting in the know, whether it's we're bringing the information to you, and sometimes you guys bring up some stuff to us in the light. We have many different followers that come along with us that have ties to the NFL and players all around the world and really give us the dish on a lot of different things. So it's a whole different spin on it. We have a lot of fun. We joke around. Don't get too serious either. So the competition that we do, we do picks every week, and at the end, the loser has to drink a huge thing of liquor, and we have a good live show after that. It's a lot of fun.
There you go. And you can find that show. You can find them on X at FB underscore.
Yes, and on YouTube, Football on the No Show.
There you go. There you go. And so you can find their other podcasts that they do for us, the NFL One, Blindside Blitz, as well as this podcast, Points on the Board, political podcast, and our other basketball show. And we've got three more podcasts down the pike, hoping to bring them to you guys sooner than later. And you can find this at grumbleesmedia.com, as well as our social media platforms such as YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Pandora, and Spotify under the handle Grumblies Media. I am William Del Pilar for Jimmy, Joe. This is Points on the Board. And until next time, we bid you adieu.